throughout chapter 6. We're going to look at five chapters really briefly this morning. Last week, we've seen how Zechariah and Haggai, how through the prophesying, the preaching of the word, rejuvenated the work of the temple, how the foundation was completed. And we see here in chapter 6 really another attempted interruption by Tattenai, a satrap of Persia there, located in Jerusalem, came to Zerubbabel and Joshua, said, "By what authority, you know, are you doing this work?" And they claimed through permission. You know, Cyrus the king gave us permission, sent us here. So Tattenai, however you pronounce his name, wrote King Darius back in Babylon, Persia, king of Persia, and asked him, you know, "Is it true? Look in the archives." And he scoped out the archives and found out, yeah, it's true that he quoting Cyrus, that he sent back the Israelites to rebuild the temple, and he financed the venture. And he also implemented in his decree that the articles that Nebuchadnezzar swiped be returned to the house of the Lord. So he got validation, confirmation, that, yes, they were building the house and the temple of the Lord by permission. They have authorization. Then Darius tags on his own decree. He says, "Therefore, stay away from them." Kind of give them a restraining order. You know, leave them alone. Let them work. Furthermore, continue to finance their venture. You know, informing, commanding Tattenai. And also, with certainty, make sure whatever they want, give to them. And make sure the articles of the temple get back into the house of the Lord. So, gaining confirmation. We see three official decrees by Cyrus in the beginning of the book, Darius here, and then further on, some near 6 decades later, when Ezra comes, Artaxerxes. And really between chapter 6 and chapter 7 is a gap of 58 years. And during that time is when the book of Esther was written, back in Babylon. We see how the beginning of chapter 7, Ezra is introduced. And we see that he's a man of faith. Over and over again, through beginning in chapter 7 through the end, chapter 10, the book of Ezra, well, actually chapter 8 through 8, the hand of the Lord, or the hand of our God, the Lord, or the hand of the Lord our God, is mentioned over and over again, 6 times in this book. The phrase is also mentioned many times in the book of Nehemiah, which is also covering the same portion of history. And we see over and over again this term, the hand of God, mentioned. And I wanted to talk about God's hand upon a life this morning. Notice as Ezra is introduced in chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. "Now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah," giving his genealogy through verse 5, "he was from the line of Aaron." And picking up in verse 6, "this Ezra came up from Babylon and was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." That phrase. "Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, singers, the gatekeepers, the Nethinim, came to Jerusalem in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the 5th month, which was in the 7th year of the king. And on the 1st day of the 1st month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the 1st day of the 5th month, took a 4 months, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Again, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we, as we continue through your word, we ask, Lord, you open our heart and our ears. Lord, this wouldn't only be a mental exercise, Lord, here, mental ascent. But, Lord, you would deposit spiritual truth into our hearts and find fertile ground and change, Lord. Change the way we think. Change the way we live to a way that pleases you. And again, Lord, we praise you. We hold up Sherman to you, Lord, that your hand be upon him and you help him feel better and recover. We commit him and his stay in the hospital to you. You watch over him. In Jesus' name. We see, as Ezra is introduced, he was a man of faith. And the hand of God being upon his life, the Bible says. And really, you know, we see that that is in correlation with his faith. In verse 6, chapter 7, you know, he was a scribe, a skilled scribe, according to the law of Moses. He knew the law, he knew the word, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord of, God upon him. He was a marked man, for he was a man that had the hand of God upon his life. He knew the word. He was a skilled scribe. The Bible tells us in verse 9 that it was according to the good hand of his God upon him that he set out on this journey back to Jerusalem. The second wave taking another group, taking the trip back to Jerusalem to get the temple operating back. Going, for it had lapsed in the past 58 years. But he began his journey, the Bible says, and it was in accordance to the good hand of the Lord upon his life, according to God's way, according to God's hand. He started out, the Bible says, he started out on his journey, really, according to God's hand upon his life. And it would be indicative of, you know, our journey. Now, we walk by faith. As we start out on the right foot, as it were, according to God's hand being upon our life. As we commit ourselves to him, as we come to him, as we acknowledge him for who he is. Ezra began the journey back to Jerusalem according to God's hand upon his life. The Bible tells us, as you look at his life, you know, he was exalted and promoted. The Bible says that King Artaxerxes gave him all that he requested. The Bible says that as you read this portion of Scripture, that he was appointed, authorized, with authorization to appoint leadership. And, you know, when you get into Jerusalem, you can set up your government. I authorize you, the King Artaxerxes gave him that authorization. He was exalted. He was promoted. The hand of God upon his life, his faith, and the personal correlation with his faith. The Bible tells us that, you know, a lot of money was entrusted to him as he carried back an offering from Artaxerxes, as he imposed taxes and an offering to go back to Israel. A huge offering was entrusted to him. Some, you know, over $109 million in gold, $209,200,000 in silver, vast amount entrusted to him. He was in that position, exalted, promoted, authorized. We see how God's hand upon him, you know, directed him. He got involved in God's plan because he sought the Lord, the Bible tells us. Look at verse 10, chapter 7. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. He not only wanted to know it, search the Bible, study the Bible, to understand it, to know it, but he set his heart to prepare to do it. He was stout in obeying God. What God revealed to him, he set his heart upon to do, to obey. The kind of guy he was. The reason God's hand was upon his life, for he sought the Lord. He sought to obey the Lord. Then the Bible says, not only to seek and to do it, but to share it, to teach it, to pass it on, receiving the nuggets of truth in his own life as they honestly took root. He would share them with others, passing on spiritual truth, God's hand upon his life. The Bible tells us that here he is, some 58 years later, he introduced this scribe, skilled scribe, studied the Bible, understood the Bible, God's hand upon his life. And because God's hand was on his life, the Bible says that, and he sought the Lord, as anyone, this rule or principle would apply. If anybody studies the Bible and seeks to do God's will, obey God, you'll find yourself in the midst of his will or in his plan, as Ezra was found now leading a group of people, a large group, a lot of money, back to Israel, really to start a revival, is really what God used him for. But we see his faith, and we see his faith demonstrated personally. And in correlation with God's hand being upon his life, the Bible says. Not only was his hand upon his life, the Bible says in the second mention that it was God's good hand that was upon his life. For God's plan is good. As we seek his will, as we seek to obey him, submitting to him, yielding ourselves to him, the Bible reveals and he directs his plan in our life. And we come to discover and understand it's a good plan. He's a good God. He has a good plan for us. As Ezra comes to live and find and follow for what God's plan, his hand upon his life. We first see that it was about and in correlation with his personal faith. We see another point revealed or opened up about God's hand upon a life is that it's full of provision. He doesn't come empty-handed. To have God's hand upon our life is more than just a phrase. God's hand upon our life. There's a meaning to it. There's an inexhaustible depth to God's hand being upon our life. As Ezra, in the book of Ezra, reveals. Calvary Chapel uses a phrase, where God guides, God provides. When you're open, as Ezra was, to seek the Lord, open to his plan for your life, God will provide. God will guide. That's Ezra's revelation here. We see how he provides. Look in verse 15. Ezra in chapter 8, next chapter. Ezra, after the beginning of chapter 8, showing the people that responded, that was going to go with him, many volunteers, looked around at the river. The Bible says he gathered at the river and he looked around and said, hey, we got a problem. There's no Levites. In verse 15, at the end of verse 15, the Bible says, and I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levite there. We got a problem. We're going to get involved with God's service and there's no Levites that have volunteered. We need help. The Bible tells us, look at the end of verse 17. He appoints a group of men and that they should bring us servants for the house of our God. The Bible says that it was according to God's good hand upon this group and upon their effort that he went out to recruit Levites. He was a recruiter. And the Levites didn't volunteer at first. But there was still a need for the service of the Levites, for there was a need for the service in the house of the Lord, the Bible tells us. So he sent out men of understanding to recruit, to draft a group. And the Bible again mentions this phrase that it was according to. Verse 18, then by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, actually 22 altogether. They recruited help. The need was met according to the hand of God. God's hand provides. God's hand upon our life is resourceful. Ezra tapped into the resource of God's hand upon his life. Hey, we got a need. We have a problem. We need Levites. There's no Levites. Thus, turning to God and sending out some recruiters, God met the need, the Bible says, according to God's hand upon their life. The next problem he had, meeting and showing, demonstrating God's provision, that God doesn't come empty-handed, God's hand upon our life, was the need for guidance. In verse 21, chapter 8, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, and that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. God's way. The right way for us, for our family. Direction, guidance for our family. He sought it. God's hand upon his life. God's resource is a resourceful hand upon his life. He tapped into, he connected with. He turned to God for direction and wisdom concerning his family, his property, his things. And he had a concern because the Bible tells us that this huge amount of money that he was carrying back, he wanted, you know, to be protected. He saw God's protection over it. Look at verse 22, chapter 8. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we have spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. The Bible says that he sought help for protection from God, and he was ashamed to ask the king. You know, he had every right. The king would have gave him, supplied him an army, a platoon to protect him, to escort him back to Israel. But he says, you know, it wouldn't be a good representation of God. You know, here we are talking about whipping out this phrase, God's hands upon our life. He protects us. Now, in keeping with his protection, I'm ashamed to ask the king for help. So the Bible says that he sought God's answer. But, you know, it's, you know, God's hand of provision is more than a phrase. It's more than just him protecting us, you know, putting a hedge about us. He offers resources, help for our problems. He sought help, answers for his problems, solutions for his family, and received them, tapping into, connecting, holding hands with his hand being upon his life. The Bible tells us that he had a concern because he had so much money. And, you know, he had a trip of 1,000 miles to make back to Jerusalem. The Bible says that, you know, he had a concern for the marauders and the raiders and bandits along the way. And we're going to carry all this money. You know, I'm concerned about it. So the Bible says, I'm ashamed to ask the king, Artaxerxes, for, you know, protective armored guard, you know, a band of soldiers. So he prays. In verse 23, he fasted and entreated our God for this. The Bible says he answered our prayer. As he sought God's answer, God answers. You know, he's resourceful. God's hand upon his life, but he's tapping into his resources. You know, we always, I sometimes, you know, representing God is bigger than, you know, our personal tunnel vision. How others look at us. The influence we have upon others. The life we lead. the decisions we make, bear upon our witness. I used to work for a company called Contract Interiors. The company sold steel case furniture, really, you know, high line type office furniture, and high line interior decorators. And, you know, here I am. It was a good job there. I was very grateful. But I one day went to work, and I was wearing sweats. Nice sweats, but sweats. And, you know, the project manager confronted me and said, "You can't wear sweats." I said, "Hey, I'm a carpet layer." "No, but you're, you know, you're representing Contract Interiors, and this is a high-profile job, and your representation needs to be upgraded." You know, and so do ours. It's more than just us in our casual walk representing ourselves. We're holding a higher profile. The witness of a Christian is a high profile. Others are looking. And Ezra says, you know, I was ashamed to ask Artaxerxes. Man of faith, sought the Lord, prepared himself to seek the Lord, to hear his word, knew the word. And he sought to obey the Lord, and he was ashamed to be a bad witness. There's a principle there for us. He fasted, and he prayed, and God gave him an answer. In that, take several men, 22 men, divide up the bucks, and let them carry it. Count it out to them. And then when they, get into Jerusalem, to give an account right away. To recount the money, and they proved to be faithful, these 22 men. But it was God's plan for transporting the finances back to Israel. But his hand upon a life is a hand of resources, a hand to be connected with, held on to, and tapped into, as Ezra did. Had a problem, had a concern, took it to the Lord answered. We see God's hand upon a life, Ezra. We see how God's fulfillment came as Ezra reaped God's protection, God's faithfulness. I mentioned it was 1,000 miles back to Jerusalem from Babylon. It took 4 months. That's approximately 7 miles a day. Long trip. A lot of traveling. Look at verse 31. Chapter 8. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month and got to Jerusalem. The hand of God was upon us. Another phrase there, God's hand upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy. He protected us. He sought protection. He sought security for the finance and the transfer of the finances. And God delivered them from their enemies. God can do that. And he did it. And he reaped the fulfillment of God's hand upon his life because he connected with it. He tapped into it. He not only had faith, but he exercised his faith to connect with God. God's hand upon a life. God's faithfulness. He's reaping as he looks back. As we look back over our life, we can see how God's been faithful to us, keeping us, protecting us. He sees God's faithfulness. The little portion in chapter 9 when Ezra goes makes it back to Jerusalem. Chapter 9 and 10 is covered more thoroughly in Nehemiah. We'll look at it closer in Nehemiah. But when he gets back, right away he sees that the Israelites were intermarrying with the locals. Strictly prohibited by God's law. The Bible tells us that they were taking on pagan customs. That's why he ripped his clothes. The Bible said he pulled his hair out, pulled some of his beard out. He started to lament. He started to mourn. He started to pray. But the Bible, in that portion we read this morning for the scripture reading, he prayed, he reviewed God's faithfulness. "Lord, you know, we haven't learned our lesson. Here we are, brought back from Babylon and being hauled into captivity because of our sin. and idolatry. And now here we are, you know, after being corrected and punished, falling back into sin. You know, as he prayed, brought forth repentance. But the fulfillment of God's faithfulness as he prays. I just want to look quickly at God's hand upon a life, his hand upon our life. The Bible tells us his hand is upon our life. Am I holding his hand today? You know, the Bible tells us that they had a need for Levites. And we may have a need, a kind of a Levitical need. Spiritual service. Spirituality in our life. You know, we can call upon God to meet our need. And I need him always. I drift from him. I need the Levitical injection, as it were. I need him to meet my need for him, as Ezra demonstrates. John was telling me yesterday that his car's, you know, keeps on dying. It won't start. He calls it a parasitical draw. There's something drawing power from his battery. It keeps going dead. You know, we have need for him. And he meets our need. Guidance. We have need for his guidance, for our family, to show us the right way as they cried out to God and God answered them. Protection. And sometimes if, you know, you really got to hear from him and it's an important issue or decision, we should get down and fast and pray, as Ezra did at the river, seeking an answer and finding him. But, you know, God's hand upon our life, more than just a phrase we see here in Ezra. Let's stand. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we do look to you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that we would understand the truth of your hand being upon our life. And, Lord, cause us to connect with you, hold hands, tap into the resources that you offer, Lord, for guidance, for protection, provision, leadership, authorization. Lord, we exaltation, promotion. Lord, we look to you to meet our needs. We ask, Lord, that you continue to keep your hand upon us, Lord, and cause us to live the truth. Be aware of our witness, our profile, and the representation that we're making, Lord, by claiming we're Christians. We look to you, Lord, to fulfill your claim. We ask that we not misuse this time, Lord, this little while you pour your grace upon us. For your glory, Lord, we ask these things for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. May the hand of the Lord be upon you, and may we experience the fullness of the meaning. And it's not just a phrase, it's his hand to be held, and the resources he extends to us. May we tap into. In Jesus' name, amen.